What is going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to catch up with Moose of Kill the Lights over Zoom video. We had Moose on 3 years ago now, just before Kill the Lights released their debut album called The Sinner. They had the song Through the Night out at the time. So it had been 3 years since we chatted with Moose. It was awesome to have him back on the podcast. You might recognize him from the band Bullet for My Valentine. He was one of the co-founders of that band. So he talks a little bit about that. You can hear his full backstory in the first Kill the Lights interview. So I recommend checking that one out as well. But born and raised in Wales, Moose talks about how he got into music, how he ended up becoming a drummer, started off on guitar, how Bullet for My Valentine formed, him eventually leaving that band, and a year or so later, forming Kill the Lights. We talk about the release of that first album because it hadn't even came out yet when we spoke, but he talks about the process of putting that album together and all about the new album and what the band's been up to over the past, like I said, 3 years since we had him on the show. But Moose really dives into the entire process of the new album, Death Melodies, and talks a lot about their first headlining tour that's coming up as well to support the album. You can watch our interview with Moose on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it would be amazing if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're bringing it backwards with Kill the Lights. Hey, what's up, Moose? How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. We chatted about over 3 years ago now. It's crazy.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, it was when you hadn't even had the Sinner hadn't even came out yet. I think Through the Night was about to come out, maybe.
Yeah, it was a long time ago because I remember doing the interview in my old garage,
which yeah, is, yeah.
I've knocked it down like straight after that. So it's been ages.
Oh my gosh, that's wild, man. Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you again and kind of see what the band's been up to in the past few years, because it was the middle of the pandemic, I think, last time we talked.
Yeah, what a lovely time that was.
Yeah, and I think you guys had to put the record out during that time as well.
Yeah, I mean, from a musician who's used to releasing albums and touring, and then this one, it was like, you're gonna have to release it in like the worst time in music history. I couldn't even do anything. It was just like, well, what's the point of releasing music when I can't? But you know, it was what it was. It still did okay, so you know, at least we get a second shot now.
Yeah No, I know the album was still great and it did well, and I love what you guys are doing with this new one as well.
Cool, man, thank you very much. We definitely worked hard on this one. Yeah
Well, again, this is about you and your journey in music. I don't know if you mind just recapping a little bit about kind of your story, and then I want to hear all about what you've been up to and what the band's been up to, you know, over the course of the last few years with the world finally opening up again in the new album.
Yeah. I started Bullet back in 90, well, before it was called Bullet, I started a band called Jeff Gold John back in 1996. Mm-hmm. It turned out to be Bullet for My Valentine because we needed a new name. So I wrote down loads of band names, which I thought were cool. And that was one of them. Bullet for My Valentine.
Yeah, still
a
great name.
Yeah. I was like, you know, if I died tomorrow, at least like I've done one thing which will stick in people's minds. And, you know, that come out of my little Welsh brain.
Yeah. Well, didn't you all release was it the first album you released it? What, in the UK in October or something, and you waited in the US and put it out on Valentine's Day? Is that what I saw?
It was definitely a staggered release.
Yeah, I think you waited just because it was like, why not just do it on February 14th?
Yeah, it was probably a record company idea.
So you were born and raised in Wales, correct?
Yeah, still here now. That's where I am right now, South Wales. Yeah, I did that. Obviously, Bullet did well for, you know, the first. Still, they're still doing okay, which
number
is good.
Of years.
And then I left in 2016, officially left in 2017 or 18, and then started Kill the Lights. And then released an album in COVID, like we just said.
Yeah.
And now we're here with album number two.
Amazing. Wait, you ended up leaving Bullet because you were having a baby, right? Is that what happened?
Yeah, it was a few ongoing issues there as well. So, but yeah, my wife was pregnant. So I come home and home I stayed.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, that would be rough to be on the road so much, right, with a band and kind of being had to be away from all that. And then it's like, hey, I'm home. Okay, well, now I got to go back out again or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I said I had a few interviews previous. And when I was in Bullet, I've got another two kids, which are older now. They're like 21 and 20, uh-huh. 22, I don't know, whatever. They're old. And when I was in Bullet, I never seen them because I was never home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at least the blessing in disguise really of the pandemic and leaving Bullet was my daughter's 7 now and I've been here every day. So, you know, it's cool. And she's, I have to prepare her now for when I go on tour because we've got this tour booked. So I'm like, you know, I'm going away on back to work because that's what daddy does. And she gets it, but I don't think she'll get it till the day, you know?
Yeah, till the day you have to go. Was your daughter born in 2016?
Yes, she was born in 2016.
Okay. Yeah, my son was born in 2016 as well. He was born in April. So.
Oh, awesome, man. Yeah, how about my daughter? She was April 23 or 28th. Oh, 29th. I don't know.
I was going to say, my son was born on April 23rd. That would have been wild if it was the same day. Close, though.
Yeah, definitely. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that's crazy. So second grade, I would imagine.
She's in
two,
we call it.
Cool, man. Well, just to back up real quick and to just get a kind of a brief history of your music career prior to Bullet, did you come from like a creative or musical household at all, or were you the only one in the family that was kind of driven to do this?
No, my parents are not driven musically at all. I mean, they listen to music, and that's where I got my cool, you know, influences from, like Queen and the Beach Boys and Phil Collins and stuff like that, you know. But as playing music, they never touched an instrument at all, which is funny because I'm a drummer, I've done well, and my brother's in a band now, and he's doing really well. So it's very strange.
Oh, really? I didn't know your brother's in a band.
Yeah, they're doing really well here in the UK. They call Those Damn Crows. They're doing quite well.
I think I've heard the name, actually, Those Damn Crows. That's cool. What does he do? Is he a guitar player, a singer, a drummer?
He's a guitar player, and he doesn't say a word.
You started on guitar, right? Is that what I remember?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I still love guitar now because I think that's why I become a drummer, really, because I love hearing guitar players play. Mm-hmm. So I think I become a drummer to influence, you know, to support the music that I love, really, because I've been to drum clinics and I've watched drummers drum and drum solos and stuff, and it just doesn't get me. But if I watch a guitar player, I'm like, oh, that's way better. So, like drumming on my own, I just find really boring. But drumming with someone playing guitar, that's way better for me.
Yeah. Did you start playing drums as kind of like a necessity? I know growing up as a kid, I was never in any bands that did anything, or I'm not a very great player by any means, but like it was always so hard to find a drummer. It was like the drummer always had the pick of the litter as far as bands that they wanted to play, and they'd always be in like five bands. And you know, I feel like with drums you kind of have definitely more of an opportunity to kind of play with who you want because it's harder to find them.
Yeah, definitely. There was a massive group of friends. It was like 20 to 25 friends, and everyone played guitar.
Right.
Like one drummer, and he was like 20 years older than all of us. We were like, oh, you know, play it. So then all I could hear was drums as well when I put on music. So I bit the bullet, excuse the pun. And Padge actually sold me my first drum kit. Padge was a drummer, and he didn't want to play drums. So he sold me, I didn't ask my mum or my dad, I just bought him And
were they so happy to bring that home?
Like, oh, fantastic. Yeah. So, you know, I'm forever in debt for my parents letting me, not throwing them away.
That's amazing. And did you ever jam with your brother? Is he younger than you, older than you?
He's 18 months older than me, but no, I never jammed with him, which is weird, because when, like, I didn't really have time when I was like, a bullet kicked off when I was 21, 22.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'd only been playing drums for like 6 years, I think, 6, 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always back and forth London trying to get the band record deals anyway. But yeah, but he's home now. I really should have a jam. I know it would make my mum happy.
Yeah, do a little family band. That'd be rad. Yeah. Put a record out or something. Because you did Bullet for a number of years, right? 98 or 6 or whatever the band started through. You played up till 7 years ago or so.
Yeah, that was a real, you know, best times of my life so far. You know, thinking about I was growing up touring the world, which was, you know, it was incredible. It was like someone gave me a set of keys for the planet. And I was like,
yeah, I got to see the world, play with some, I'm sure some amazing, I mean, I think you've opened up for like Iron Maiden and Metallica and like all these, the greats of the, you know, the metal hard, you know, that genre.
Yeah. I mean, the people we've played with, I mean, it does not get any bigger. I mean, we were like having conversations with, you know, Lars from Metallica, and I was just like, well, fuck me, man. I'm only like fucking 20, fucking two.
Yeah, you're playing like arenas, I would imagine, right?
Stadiums with Metallica. That was huge.
Jesus. That's so crazy. Yeah. So how long, so you, once you left Bullet, when do you eventually start Kill the Lights? Was it fairly quickly, or like, was it, okay, I'm kind of, did you think you were done with music at that point, or you just wanted a break?
At the time I thought I was done, but then thinking about it, I just needed a good break, you know. So I think it was about a year, and then I was just like, you know, I've got to do something. And I didn't listen to music, I didn't put the radio on or nothing. But
really?
I just completely fell out of love for music.
Do you feel like you were burnt out on it? Or, I mean, to do that for so long, and that's kind of, you know, album, tour, you know, you were probably constantly so busy.
Yeah, I mean, it became a machine in the end. And to be honest, the fun was gone. Because it became more of a business, and, you know, you know, people saying you can't do this and you can't do that. And I don't know, it just plays, and then it plays on you mentally, you know, and then you're just like, well, why am I here? You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. So I think it was the right time to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed a break. And then about 2018, I thought, well, I've done it before. Let's do it again. See how far we can go. So I wanted to start another band. And then I didn't want to be in a band with strangers, because they might not like me, and I might not get on with those guys. And then, you know, 6 months down the line, it'll be game over, you know? So I was like, well, let's pick some members who you've toured with and, you know, which are cool guys to hang out with. So I just text Jordan, because Still Remains and Bullet toured quite a fair bit together back in the day.
Mm-hmm. And so was that like, you just text him, hey, I kind of want to start a band. Like, what are you down? Or like, how did the conversation begin to even form this band?
I think I need to remix. I think it's still on my phone. I have to dig it out. I was like, got any riffs? That was it.
That was it. Got any riffs?
And it just threw me like 30 or 40 like song ideas. And I was just like, okay.
Wow. So yeah. So he was with Still Remains. Was he still playing with them at the time?
Yeah. They've always been like, I don't think they've officially ever broken up. They just like got jobs, and, you know, priorities come different ways for them. So they just do like shows here and there and albums here and there and stuff. So they never really broke. They're still going now. They got two shows coming up. But yeah, he was just, over the course of not touring and working and stuff, he was just writing songs for like 10 years. And then he just said, what do you think of these? And then they ended up on The Sinner.
Wow. And was he living in Wales, or like, how did you, because I know you have members all over the place, right? Like Texas and Minnesota, I think one of your guys lives in Minnesota. Like, it's kind of all over the place, right?
Jordan's Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, Michigan, that's what it was.
Yeah, so that was, I was just like, okay, I mean, we were just file sharing via the internet, and then we got James in, which is from Minnesota, which I knew his band threw the fight open for Bullet in 2013. And then he was in, so I was like, okay, Jordan and James needed to meet, so I just said, let's fly to Jordan. Well, Jordan said, fly here, and then we'll just crack on with it, and that's what happened. Just the three of us wrote the center then.
Wow. And you wrote the center before the pandemic and all that had happened, right?
Yeah, it was all done. Yeah, I think I recorded it. I finished recording in June or July of 2018.
Okay. And then
finished.
You waited, like, what was the purpose of waiting, like, you know, a year and a half to release the album?
So we self-funded the recording of The Sinner, and then we were basically dishing it out into labels because it was all ready to go. So it's kind of easier to get a deal that way because all they have to do is just, well, okay, release it.
Yeah.
And then Fearless were like, yeah, cool. Okay, we'll have it. So we took a long time agreeing terms of the deal. And then Marilyn Manson was signing to another record label, which was co-owned with Fearless. And all the lawyers were taking up a lot of time with Marilyn Manson.
Uh-huh.
So that pushed ours back. And then obviously the pandemic come. So, yeah.
Oh, did you have the same manager as Marilyn Manson then? Or
no,
were you saying,
same label.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it was just that, yeah, they were getting him, so to speak. And it was like,
yeah. He was the bigger fish.
Yeah, well, yeah, just a little name recognition there a bit. Not that Bullet doesn't have that, but I mean, yeah. So when you guys start, it's all file sharing in the beginning. And that kind of almost worked out, right? When it came to like the pandemic happening, it was like, oh, well, we already kind of know how to do this. You were like ahead of the game in a way when the band started.
Yeah, I mean, the first time Jordan heard the drums for The Sinner really was when I finished recording them. So he's like completely trusted me really. So I was like, that was cool. Yeah. But when the pandemic hit, it was okay. Same old, same old. I prefer to do it with the guys all in the same room, which we did 80% of once Canada opened. We all just flew there. We'll get onto that in a minute. But yeah, it was okay. File sharing is when we stuck at home for the next however long it was.
Okay. And then you were doing, I think you guys were doing like some of those like streaming shows, weren't you, at one point or another?
Yeah, that was strange as well because I recorded my parts in Wales, in Cardiff.
Uh-huh.
All of the other guys recorded their parts in their own cities as well, but then it was all put together. It was quite clever.
Yeah. But as far as like playing live, like you have probably hadn't played with each other in a live setting or like in front of, you know, people until after that, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously we released the album and then we had to cancel tours, put tours back. So we only did like 10 shows for The Sinner and they were all in the UK. So, yeah. So now we're just like, come on, let's go.
Yeah, it's super stoked. So then you said you went to Canada. Like, at what point do you go? Is that when you start working on this new record?
Yeah, obviously, Canadian border opened to vaccinated Americans and UK people. So we were like, no brainer. If that's the only place we can go to, you know, get a good chunk of this album written. So we all just flew to Windsor in Canada and just stayed there for like 10 nights and wrote 80% of the album.
Wow. And what year was that? Was that 2020 or 2021 at that point?
That would have been 2021.
Okay. So you had already had, because The Sinner was done, right? That was done in a while before. And the record had a chance to come out, but it was during a time when touring was non-existent. And then it's like, were you guys working on this next coming record? Because I remember we were talking and you said, oh, we have so many other songs. Like we have enough songs for another album. Were those the songs that ended up making this, or was it all over fresh and you just have a bunch of songs in the can from The Sinner?
In between The Sinner and this new album, recording it, we released a song called Dead from the Start. That was a kind of leftover. Then we re-recorded a song because Jay joined the band, the ex-Bullet bass player joined the band, and he did. We re-recorded a song with his vocals on. But yeah, there's still a bunch of leftover Sinner stuff still in the can because we like to keep them there. But then, like, if it, like, right fresh, if they wasn't used for the first time, then they're obviously not as good as what we think they are, you know?
Yeah, you should just have them. They're just there on a drive.
Yeah.
That's wild. So then you go to Canada, and do you, at that point going in there, was it everyone was starting fresh, or did you have some stuff together? Like, were you file sharing and had a base for what this record would look like? Or was it, let's just meet there and start at zero and see what we can come up with?
Yeah, before the pandemic in 2019, we all flew to LA to meet the label. You know, hello, and we just hung out there. And we, while we were doing that, we wrote Broken Bones, which was the first single off Death Melodies.
Okay.
So that was already, well, it was half there. It had a verse and a chorus, and that was it. And then, yeah, that's all we had. And I think due to the pandemic, there's a song on the album called Man Without a Face. That was a file sharing song too. So that was there as well. So we kind of like had a song and a half.
Okay,
so
that was it. And then you get to, and in 10 days you write the rest of the album.
Yeah, I got to Canada a night before the guys, checked into the hotel, met the guys in the Airbnb the next day, set up a little studio, and it just poured out. It was just like whoosh, it just flew out of us because we love music, we love writing music, and then we hadn't been together for a while, so we just jamming and having fun, and that's the best way to write music, I think.
Yeah. So does it, how, like, with a song, do you come up with a like a killer drum beat and you're like, okay, this is kind of what I'm thinking, and then they write over it? Or is it a bunch of different variables? Maybe you'll have, they'll have a riff together and you kind of play to it. Like, how do you guys kind of begin a song?
Mainly we'll all just be sitting around and the guys with the guitars be just jamming away. And then I'll be like, what's that right there? They'll be like, what, this? And I'll be like, okay. And then that's how it kind of starts. Then I'll give my ideas, and I'll, because I'm shit of writing, like, tapping drums in. So I'll go, Travis, this. And because Travis is like, so Travis will put my input, my thoughts into the drums on the computer. And then just go.
So you start it that way. You start with, okay, I would do this, or try to do this. So then it's all done that way, like just through the computer, and then you'll go, okay, and then put it on, and then you just add your flavor and do the live drums at that
point. Exactly.
Interesting. And that is that what, like, how different was this, obviously, writing this album? Was it much different than the first one? Because even the first one, you guys got together at one point, right? Or was the whole first album just file sharing that became put together?
I think when me, James, and Jordan first went out for the Grand Rapids meeting and our trip, I think we wrote three songs on those 4 days. So yeah, so we kind of knew how we worked, you know, together anyway. But we had the added bonus of having Travis help us write on this one, because he only wrote his solos on Sinners, but this time he come more of a fourth party writing partner.
So that, I'm sure that it's, so that's cool that you can all kind of get together and write, right? Instead of having one primary person that's going to write all the songs, and then you all just kind of go, okay, this is what they want to do, and then we'll jump on that. It's no, here's what we're going to do. This is the everyone has an equal voice, it sounds like.
Oh yeah, definitely. Because otherwise you're not going to get, like, if Travis or Jordan are stuck, or if I'm stuck, I'll say, oh, what do you want me to do on this part? And we all just say, like, be yourself, what would, you know, be you. Everyone knows how you sound when you play your instruments, and just put your own part on there. And I think that's how you get your voice out. You know, everyone knows how I play drums, and hopefully people will know when it's me playing drums, because it is me playing drums, and that's how I play my drums. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're going to release the album in March, right? Next month. It's not very far away. I can't believe we're already halfway through February.
I know. Yeah. March 8th. Wait.
March 8th. And then you're doing a tour alongside it. And this will this be kind of the first big tour for the band?
Yeah. I mean, this will be the first tour. First headline run. That's going to go across UK and Europe. Wait.
That's exciting. Have you done any US shows yet or not yet?
No. None. That's our next big thing after we finish this European tour. We're going to, all eyes are set now on America and Canada because the label are there. 80% yeah. of 80% of the band are there. So I'm like, me and Jay just hop on a plane and get touring.
Wow. Why did you guys decide on the UK first? Just because it was easy. I mean, had you already booked it or, I mean, to do, it's cool that you're doing that. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, you're like, okay, we'll do that. And then we have our eyes set on the US.
Yeah. We've already toured, like we played like 10 shows here. So we thought we may as well just go there first.
Sure. Was your last tour a headlining tour as well? Or is this your first real headline?
We opened for a band called Bleed From Within, and then we hopped off that and jumped on a opening slot with a band called Monuments.
Okay, so this time you guys are you're the headliners. That's exciting.
Yeah, the only thing about headlining is just waiting around all day.
Right. Like, okay, we get to play at 10 or whatever. You know, you got to kind of wait around.
Yeah, which is weird because I've been off for so long and now my kids are, you'll probably get this as well. I'm like, I'm in bed by 8:30, sleeping by 9:30.
Oh, man, tell me about it. Yeah, it's like, and then I'm up at 5:30.
By the time the band is ready to play, I'm like, I should be in bed.
You're like, wake me up in 2 hours when we go on. It's my bedtime was a couple hours ago.
Yeah, exactly. But it's going to be fun. I can't wait.
Yeah. How do you guys rehearse for something like this just because everyone's kind of all over the place? Do you get a lot of time together as, you know, as a band?
No. So what we do is individually we'll rehearse. Like I'll come up here, just jam out in my room.
Oh, rad.
Make sure all the songs are where I want them to be. And then we'll just all meet like a week before rehearsal in a space. So then all jam together and hope it goes well.
And do you like going to this Airbnb in Canada and doing majority of this record there? Is that something that you all just do as a band and or do you bring a producer in? Like how do you record and produce the record? Is it all done between the guys in the band?
The band will write the songs first and then we'll hand our demos over to whoever's producing and, you know, accept their ideas if they're good.
Okay. But the main recording is already done with you guys. You're not going back and re-recording anything?
Yeah, I'll go once the songs are set in stone and everyone's happy with their parts, I'll go in and re-record like a full on kit and do it that way.
Okay. And then you send that to whoever's producing it and they just kind of lay it all together?
I'll do that with the producer then.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the guitars and everything's done, and then you come in and do the drums with the producer, and then everything kind of goes.
Yeah, then once my drums are properly done, then the boys will kind of go back and revisit their guitar parts and if stuff has changed, which changes a lot, actually, once I drum for properly, more ideas kind of spin out.
Yeah, spark, yeah. Did you do the drums in Canada, or did you come back home and do them in Wales?
No, the drums were done in Derby in England.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is awesome. A lot of people had recorded there. So,
really? A band that I knew or know, the Struts, they're from Derby. And I didn't know that was a big place to record. Because when I've talked to them, like, oh, it's this little town kind of just in the middle of, you know, the UK. And so is that, there's a spot there that a lot of bands go to record?
Oh, yeah, it's quite a famous recording studio. It's called Backstage Studios, owned by a guy called Andy Sneap, who's a massive influence producer in metal.
Okay.
And he's now in Judas Priest, which is
Oh, no way. Is he really?
Yeah.
That's wild. Hey, what's that studio called? Because I'm going to look it up when we're done with this interview because I'm curious.
Called Backstage Studio.
Backstage. That's rad. Yeah, because I've known these guys for a while. I was on terrestrial radio and kind of was the first person that played them. And then they've done well since, you know, and they've had some big records on movies and radio. And they're from Derby. And every time I talk to them, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's just this little town. You wouldn't know it. Like, no. Yeah. And then to hear that there's this, you know, this super famous recording studio, that's all brand new news to me. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I recorded two songs for The Poison in that studio too. So it was like, it's been going a long time.
Wow. That's crazy.
Mm.
So you got the tour going, you got the album coming out, all exciting stuff. Is there a song on the album that, you know, happened and you guys were like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe we were able to, like, was there something that kind of just sparked out of nowhere that you can remember, like a big milestone moment in the recording process?
So the last song, Drowning, when I first heard that, I was just like, okay, this is like another depth to the band, which I didn't think we'd have.
Mm-hmm.
Blew me away. And Sleep with the Devil, the acoustic track on there.
Oh, yeah.
When like all of the harmonies and the gospel bit comes in at the end, I was just like, where the fuck did that come from?
That's a great song. I mean, and the meaning behind it, just what I was reading, I mean, the addiction and the alcoholism, like the battle that he goes through on a daily basis. I can relate to that. I'm an AA and you know, I've been sober for a while now. And when I heard the song, I was like, yeah, I was like, damn, like this really hits home. Like, I kind of thought it was about that. And then when I went and read the press release, kind of talking about what, you know, the meaning of the song, I was like, wow, okay, this is why this really hits.
I think it's
such a great song.
It's like, for an acoustic song, I was just like, it's really dark, you know. It's really,
yeah.
it's really good. But I'm glad you say that he's sober now, because Jay, our bass player, who was in Bullet with me, he's like 7 years sober as well, which is awesome.
Wow, that's huge. Tell him congratulations. I mean, that's such a big accomplishment, man. I mean, I still go to meetings, you know, multiple times a week, and it's changed my life. I know I'm not some advocate or not some mouthpiece for AA, but it helped me, man. And whenever I hear songs like that and hear people that have had long-term sobriety, it's really inspiring.
Oh yeah. Jay's like, he's more hilarious. He was hilarious anyway, but now he's sober. I'm like, I can't get away from like just side splitting laughter. He's even more, he's like 100% more funny than he was, which is weird.
It was probably more creative too when it comes to the whole process of playing in the band and everything.
Yeah, he's way tighter than he was. Well, he's just like, he's just straight head now. And he knows exactly what he's doing. He's more like Jay.
Present.
You
yeah.
Know what I mean?
You know, 100%. That's awesome. Yeah, I think that's such a great song. And I can't wait till you guys come to the States, man. I'm excited. I'm in Nashville now. Last time we spoke, I was in San Diego. So I'd love to see you all here.
If you were in San Diego before, I always took my friends going to San Diego, and I was like, there's this barbecue place in San Diego I went to, and the line was just right around the corner, and we managed to get in. Do you know what it's called?
A barbecue place.
Yeah, San Diego.
I don't know, to be honest. I'm trying to think, because it's like known for like the Mexican restaurants, so barbecue is an interesting one.
Yeah, I know, because Blink, they have that big burrito, that Blink 182 burrito thing.
Yeah, Sombreros. That place was, what's crazy is I grew up in adjacent to Poway, where those guys are all from, and the Sombreros that they sing about in that song is the one that's right by where I grew up, my parents' house. And you go in there now, it used to be really small, and like in the bathroom there's all these like love letters and like in graffiti like to Blink, and they expanded it and they saved the door and they moved it to the new location, so they still have all the writing on it. It's pretty wild. I wish I knew the barbecue place. I'm gonna have to think about that, because I have no, I'm trying.
The line was huge. I was just like, where? Well, we gotta go here.
Yeah, I wonder what part of San Diego. Do you remember? Did you guys was it with Bullet? Did you guys play San Diego?
Yeah, it was. If we ever played San Diego, it was Soma.
Oh yeah, Soma. Okay. We
played that venue, but I don't know. I think it was probably like an hour out of there. It wasn't near the venue.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. But I don't know. I wish I knew. I wish I could tell you. Just because I don't think of San Diego and barbecue, but that's crazy. I'm definitely gonna have to look into this, because I lived there pretty much my whole life, and I can't think of where that would be.
Maybe I dreamt it.
I don't know. I don't. They could be, man. I mean, there's a lot of great restaurants there. But a lot of people, whenever I talk to them, I'm like, oh, I went to the so and so Mexican restaurant or whatever it may be. But barbecue, that's interesting. I would think more for Nashville with the barbecue. But yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, we had a day off in Nashville once. Nashville's the music city, isn't it?
Yeah,
and everyone dressed up as cowboys. And so we thought it'd be good to dress up as cowboys. But we just look like a pair of twats.
It's interesting. When I moved here, I thought for sure this was just all country music town, which it is heavily. But there's, you know, so many bands of all genres live here and so many artists of all. It's pretty wild. Like more than so than I would ever imagine. You'll have artists here. Like I just saw Brandon from Atreyu at the UPS by my house. I'm just like, that you live in that, you know, you live here now. Like it's just wild. I figured it would just be all country artists.
Yeah, it's awesome. There's a studio we were gonna do an album. Me and Padge met with Nick Raskulinex because we were thinking about working with him, but he had a studio there, I think.
Yeah, I think he does. That does sound familiar.
So we went there, had a meeting, and then we drunk. He gave us like beers, and we missed, like, and we all had to stay in Nashville or like the airport or something.
Oh, so that's rad.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, I hope you come back through, especially with Kill the Lights. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the goal for this year and next year.
Killer, man. Well, I appreciate your time again. Thank you so much, Moose, for doing this again. It's always a pleasure to chat with you, and it's rad to hear, you know, kind of what's been going on over the past three years since we talked last.
Yeah, let's not make it 3 years again. Let's do
that. Yeah, I know. Hopefully, maybe we can get an in-person one when you guys come to Nashville. Or I'll drive to you. I have one more question for you. I asked you this last time, but I'm going to ask again. If you have any advice for aspiring artists.
It's going to be tricky at the start. You're going to get a lot of negative people. Don't listen to them. Just if you believe in what you're doing, just keep going.